So we're going to call the subcommittee, the Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government, to order. We're here on a continuation of Senate Bill 5544, the state treasurer's budget. And we're back to answer some additional questions from yesterday. Dow Center, do we want to proceed? Do you want to go ahead and just let Linda and the treasurer begin on questions? All right.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before you is a letter from Deputy Treasurer Linda Hagelin, and we outlined the questions and the answers in that letter, and we could walk through that if you'd like, just briefly, and for subsequent questions, we can follow up.
Okay, great.
Linda, would you like to
just
walk through that?
Sure.
For the record, please identify
yourself. Sorry. For the record, my name is Randall Edwards, State Treasurer of Oregon, and the sign couldn't be clearer, but can read it.
And for the record, Linda Hagelin, Deputy State Treasurer. And just for clarification, Mr. Chair, would you like us to walk through each one of the questions?
Yeah, why don't we walk through the questions so we can make sure we got the questions answered that we needed to.
Sure. The first one was with regard to the statutory cap for local governments, and this is specific to their participation in the local government, as local governments in the Oregon Short-Term Fund. And we provided in the answer some background of the history of that cap, starting back in 1995, where the cap was changed at that point in time to an inflation-adjusted component, and now the cap being at $36,216,447. And that adjusts
semi-annually.
So we just had an increase on that cap. There was a side question by Representative Butler with regard to the returns on the fund and what returns could local governments experience outside of the pool. And I'll have to say, when we went back and sat around our desk yesterday trying to struggle with that answer, we realized that we were not going to come up with one, because we were speculating then on the needs of that particular, a particular local government, and what they'd be doing with those excess funds. And you could have monies that would be needed for very short-term purposes, which the short-term fund would be appropriate for, up to instances where the local government might have bond proceeds that would be more appropriately invested in a longer duration product. So, you know, they would potentially have the opportunity for a higher rate of return. So we really can't answer it because we don't have enough specifics about the local governments. We could have some local governments that are actually so small that participation in the pool isn't appropriate, that their cash balance is held at a checking account is probably totally appropriate for their funds.
Okay.
The second question was with regard to charges for local governments participating in the Oregon Short-Term Fund. And the discussion yesterday ranged from the broad cost that we had for our banking services that we provide to the state agencies, and then also for local governments. And so what you see before you is the shared costs that local governments and state agencies pay for the same type of activities. And as you can see, I think there was some concern if we had different charges for state agencies versus local governments, and they are on a unified schedule, so the charges are identical across the board, the same service.
So everyone pays the same, everyone flat pays fees. The same flat fees.
Yes. Question three was specific to the effect on borrowing costs relative to the recent bond downgrade. And this was looking forward to the $450 million appropriation credit sale that's upcoming. And this is a number that, of course, you never really know with precision. To our best estimate, that particular issue as a result of the change in the state's bond rating will cost the state approximately $1.3 million more over the life of the issue. The fourth question was with regard to cash management practices at state agencies, and wanting to know if we had identified any that had showed poor patterns of cash management practices. And we aren't aware of any that have specific needs that need to be addressed. Yesterday, Darren Bond, the head of our finance division, talked a little bit about some of the activities that we have on an ongoing basis with our agencies that identify issues as they arise, just in normal transactions. So our communications with them, we try to correct those right away. And then also we have monthly exception reports that would start showing patterns. If you'd see something coming out there, and then we meet with the agency and try to get those corrected at that time.
Representative Johnson, recognized, please.
Thank you. I guess that still begs the question. This was mine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through the processes that you just described and you meet with the agencies, I'm interested in knowing, is there a pattern and practice of the XYZ agency needing constant counseling from you? And while there may not be any specific current cash management problem with any
Let's see, is that
that's our earthquake?
That was over.
On the third floor, not on the first
coming
floor.
Coming down to the first floor.
I lived through it on the third floor, now only to be in peril again down here.
You've fallen from grace.
And that was the alarm?
I don't know,
like the Secretary of State was.
This way.
Vehicle out there.
Well, I understand they're supposed to come in and holler at us.
Okay, at which point we're supposed to be underneath the desks. So
in an earthquake, they're going to have time to come run down and holler at us to get under the desk.
Oh, God.
We'll just be on hold here for just a second if we could. Probably ought to go off the record again.